We got already matched up though, oh, can we? Barbara, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege of getting to bring your word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you use us where we're at, Lord, that you use us to be instruments for you, that you use us to see your kingdom being established. Father, I thank you for that. Father, I thank you for the words you've given us for tonight, Lord. And Lord, I pray that they would be like bread and butter to us, that they would be like something that sustains us during the week, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word is always good. It's always there to correct us, to move us up, to just rein us in, Lord. And I thank you that you're so faithful to us, that you don't let us wander off and do our own things, but you gently pull us back and you rein us in. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that you do that because we're your children and you love us so much. So, Father, I pray that you are glorified through this tonight. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
This week, I don't know, it's been a funny week. Do you have those weeks where it's just a funny week? And it's kind of like, oh, dragging myself out of bed in the morning, dragging myself to work, dragging myself around the place. And I'm going around in a pretty much of a grump. Katrina can testify to that. And I'm sitting there on Monday at some point, I'm just like, oh, lunchtime is here and the day is still Monday. Why isn't it like Thursday yet, honestly? And one of my colleagues says, what's wrong with you today? I'm like, oops. Well, what's wrong with you today? I'm like, I'm fine, really. It's okay. It's not a bother. Don't worry about it. And so that was that. And I thought, a little bit reprimanded, you know, in your spirit. A little like, what are you doing? How are you representing me? Oops. And it's back home with a smile and bouncing around the place for like 20 minutes before all something else happens. So like, anyway, Tuesday comes around and drag myself out of bed and drag myself into work. And you remember, you know, the teenager, what was his name? Kevin. Oh, yeah.
He's so unfair.
Oh, my goodness. I was a teenager. Complete teenager this week. It was disgusting. We're sitting there, I think it was Tuesday morning, and Katrina manages through for a tea break with us, and she's there with her mug. And same colleagues say, oh, I like your mug. And across the mug says, all things are possible. Obviously, for all things are possible through Christ strengthens me. And I think, gosh, why is it that everybody who doesn't know Jesus is preaching to me this week? Why are they pointing out these things around and about me that are thoroughly chastening me? Because I'm like, so. Remember this?
Yeah.
Stop!
Yeah.
You have the authority to say stop. Yeah. And I picked this up this afternoon because it's been shoved under my door in my bedroom for the last week because the doors kind of warp with the weather. You know what I mean? So it doesn't really sit properly in its catch anymore. So if it's blowing a gale and family comes in the front door and I'm upstairs, my door goes flying open. So I was like, I've got to stop. Shut it under the door. And I've got a locking room now. Which is a good thing. So this got me to thinking about new seasons and new doors. And doors that we need to close. Doors that we need to shut. Because, I don't know, this kind of season for me anyway, like autumn, it's so unsettling, because I really don't like dark mornings. Getting out of bed is such a hassle, because I'm like, how dare it be dark outside? How dare I have to get up before the sun's up? There's something wrong about that. I think I should hibernate. Anybody with me? In fact, that was another thing someone picked up on this week. I'm like, oh, it's dark. Why are you living in Scotland? If you don't like dark winters. Like, yes, thank you for that. Get on with it. So, Revelation chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to the Word today, I'm not just going to stand here moaning at you lot. As much fun as I'm having. And verse 7, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, I will make those in the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." So this is a picture of a church that's just kept going despite it being kind of rubbish. Kept going despite every temptation to pull back from what God said, every temptation to, you know, how we moan and to not do what they're supposed to be doing and to lay back even on their laurels and go, it's okay, Jesus isn't coming back for a while. And these folks have been faithful to his word. And because of that, they'll say, I've opened a door and nobody's going to shut it. Because you're faithful, I've opened the door. And you know, there's a phrase that I've kind of heard in the church a lot. It says, if God closes the door, he opens the window. Who's heard that?
Yeah.
apparently, this was popularised by The Sound of Music. It's a bit weird if we're taking our theology from The Sound of Music. But you know what? If the door closes, if the Lord closes the door, it's closed. If he opens the door, it's well and truly open. And it's time for us to close the doors on some things. And one of the biggest doors we have to close is this thing. It's a hole in the house. Psalm 141. I actually bought my washer over the weekend. I'm learning. It says, "Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work in iniquity. And do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oils. Let my head not refuse it. For still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. The judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff. And they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when one ploughs and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares that they have laid for me, and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall to their own nets, while I escape safely." See, we know that the tongue, in the perilous tongue, there's death and life. We know that what we say has such a major impact. And it's like, but also this to me all week. Da, 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 da. Because what I'm going around noting and speaking about and saying is having such an impact. Because I don't realise, Oh, Peter realized that when we enter into a room, people are looking to see what we're carrying. People are looking to see who we're presenting. So David, he's praying, look, keep a guard. Help me with this mouth. Help me so I don't line up with what the enemy's got to say. Help me so I don't make an agreement with things that aren't of you. Help me keep my heart right. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's interesting that when we're doing well, when we're in fellowship with the Lord, we don't think anything at all about our mouths and what it's doing. Do we? Or when we think we're doing well, it's like, blah, blah, I can talk for days if need be. I can keep quiet as well. You might not believe that. But if we're not careful, we leave ourselves open to every entrapment of the enemy. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and this is really familiar scriptures to people, but I believe the Lord just wanting to remind us that it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to make sure what we're saying lines up, that we keep our integrity, that we are presenting something that's useful to the world. We're presenting Jesus. We're presenting the kingdom. We're presenting that kingdom that is in joy. Now I call myself, I'm pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I'm lowly among you, but being absent I'm bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We walk according to the Spirit. We're not walking according to our flesh. We're flesh people, but we're not walking according to our flesh. When we walk according to our flesh, that's where we get it all mixed up. That's when we go, oh, well, the body doesn't really want to go to work today, so I think I'll be sick. Or, oh, this is just such hard work, I think I'll moan. Or, just make a hash of things, really. You know, the only stronghold that's in our spirit is the one that the righteous run into. And praise is the door. You know, that his gates are praise. Mm-hmm. And it's been banded around a lot, but sometimes we don't grasp the significance of what praise is. Because it's declaring that despite the circumstances, mm-hmm. despite how I feel, despite whatever's going on, God is just so good.
Amen. Yes.
God is always good. God will always be good. And like strongholds that is trying to establish themselves in our flesh, in the soul, are coming directly against that stronghold that is Jesus, that stronghold that is the Lord. They set themselves up as an alternative. And we can choose it if we want. But the reality, the alternative doesn't help us in any way. The alternative actually makes a stronghold of addictions. It makes a stronghold of other ways that we want to try and placate ourselves, that we want to try and help ourselves. And we might turn to binge watching Netflix, or sitting at home in the duvet, or having a drink, or drugs, or binge eating chocolate. They're all these kind of things, even spending spending lots of money on Amazon or something, because we want to make ourselves feel better, because this thing has set itself up in opposition to whom we're supposed to be. Yeah, so if we're thinking calmly or naturally about what we're experiencing, we'll come up with carnal solutions that make matters worse.
Mm-hmm.
Strongholds affect and establish themselves in the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Most mornings, like, for the last few weeks, there's been this kind of thought, and it's been a different kind of thought every day, but it's from the same source, okay? And it's been basically, such and such bad is going to happen to so and so. It's like, bat it away, load of rubbish, carry on. And then a few days later, same sort of thing. Such and such bad is going to happen to so and so. Go away. And you just think, oh, that's just my head. That's just my mind pulling up stuff. And then I'm thinking, that's not me, though. I don't worry about people. I don't stand in fear over stuff because I'm in Jesus. So what does that say to us? That sounds like an attack to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like an attack, and the thing is, if I'm going through it, then I know for sure other people are going through it, because he's only got one bow in his, your arrow in his quiver at any time. So we need to make sure we're taking those thoughts captive and wrestling them down, because we need to put them to bed. We need to say no. We need to say stop. We need to get that stop jammed under that door.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't get back in again. It's like, first day it's like, nuisance thing, bat it away. Second day it's a nuisance thing, bat it away. And if you think that's mosquitoes or whatever, bat it away, bat it away. When there's thousands of them, what's going to happen then? You're going to go and get a mosquito net. You're going to go and get your sprays and everything. Because it has to be put to a stop. You know what? We've been given an army. We've been given an army. We've been given an armour and an army. That turns that stuff back where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
So the weapons that we have are spirit weapons. They're spirit-led weapons. They're prophetic. And it's mostly in words. If not wholly in words. It's spirit-led prayer. It's spirit-led stands. Because we haven't got any resource out of the Spirit. We haven't got anything that can fight these things off. But in Him we do. Because all things are possible. And actually, everything that jumps into our heads, everything that kind of wants to afflict us, those aches and pains, those thoughts in our minds, you know, the general rubbish, are actually an insult to God's character. Because the idea is for these attacks to make you think the wrong thing about Jesus. It wants to separate that relationship. It's always been the devil's MO is to break up relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes in with misconceptions, he comes in with lies that make you want to accept what you're experiencing as though it was God's will. And it's the biggest insult to his character, because he is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Because he always wants to bless. And when we're established in that, or when we're holding on to that, when we're pressing into that, when we are spending every day in relationship and fellowship with Him, those other things haven't got a chance. See, what you fill your head with is up to you. What I fill my head with is up to me. If I'm leaving a big empty space there, which is probably most of the time, then I'm leaving myself wide open to those other wee voices, those other wee thoughts. But if I'm meditating on the word like he's told us to, and meditating means batting it backwards and forwards in our heads, it means mulling it over. It means making it our meditation. It can work as medication as well. So it's easy to let our thoughts slip when we're not maintaining them, when we're not fixing our eyes on Jesus, when we're not pursuing that relationship. We've been saying tonight about his magic. We've been saying tonight about lifting his name high. Mm. And even the word majesty, like you think the king, the queen, they're your majesty. But then the Lord's majesty, it's splendor, it's glory, it's far too much for us to understand, and more than enough to keep our thoughts occupied.
Mm-hmm.
To bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, is something very, very satisfying about knowing that when I'm walking right, when I'm spending time with God, when I'm spending my time thinking about him, talking to him, praying about him, that on our behalf, he's punishing. He's punishing those acts of disobedience. He's punishing the enemy it's come from. But there's nothing more frustrating to an enemy than seeing that their plans are coming to nothing. Like, throwing this at you and it's just bouncing off. Throwing that at you, it's just bouncing off. There's nothing more frustrating. And that really excites me. I get to walk carefree. I get to walk with a light load. I get to get up in the morning being excited about what God's doing in the kingdom. And all the time, I don't have to give the enemy any thought whatsoever, because Jesus is kicking in. Because our Father is making sure he's getting everything he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he's a defeated enemy anyway. Because he sorted it all out at the cross. Because he just demolished every attack. Everything that the enemy could possibly do. And all he has now is persuasive words. And they only have any effect whatsoever if we give them time. If we listen to them. Not every thought comes from ourselves. Some of them do. Some of them we can hands up and go, yeah, I was thinking wrong, sorry. Some of them are dropped in there by somebody else whispering in your ear. Some of them come because we're hungry. Some of them come because actually we are kind of achy today. But it's taking every single one of these things captive to the obedience of Christ. That means, does this thing that I'm thinking about, does this thing that I'm feeling, line up with what God says? Does it line up with what the Bible says? Because if it doesn't, it's got absolutely no business in my head, thank you very much. So, I'm shutting the door on moaning. I'm shutting the door on wrong thoughts. I'm shutting the door because once it's shut and locked tight, I'm expecting some more doors to open.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's our obedience that opens doors. It's our willingness to persevere. It's our willingness to go after God. It's our willingness to stick in there that opens doors for us. So he says to the church, let's see, I open a door that nobody can shut. Like, no matter how hard the devil wants to kick it closed, to derail us, to move out of the way, to get us off track, that door is staying open because God has opened it. We can walk around the room trying the other doors, you know, the ones that are full of bad thinking and rubbish. Or trying this other one that's locked and this other one that's locked, or we can go for the one that is open for us. Psalm 24. Says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. We're the gates. We're the gates for the Lord to come on in and make changes to the folks around us. We're the gates that, that he just wants to see us open wide to him so that he can come in. We get to be abandoned to him. We get to say, Lord, this is all of me. Come and use me. You get to say, look, this is my workplace. This is the place you've given to me. This is my responsibility. Lord, I'm opening up the gates. Come in. And he comes in with the whole of heaven's arms. He comes in with the whole of the kingdom. Where we stand makes a difference. Where we walk makes a difference. Not because of me, not because of what I can do, but because of a heart that is surrendered to God. Because of a heart that says, I'm wide open to you. Come and do something. The King of glory shall come in. The Lord strong and mighty.
Hallelujah.
The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting glory. I'm expecting more and more glorious things happening around. And I'm expecting that because that's what the Lord wants. And that's what his kingdom is about. And I believe that his kingdom's advancing. I believe that his kingdom's not going to stop advancing until it's established. And because of that, I've got no room for thinking about anything else. Because there's so much to be thinking about. In Philippians chapter 4, and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that there's more than enough of you to meditate on. Lord, I thank you for all the good things you've given us, for all the good things that you are doing, and Lord, for all the good things that you want to do. Father, I thank you that you don't give up on people, you don't give up on us, that you are always faithful.
Thank you, Father.
I thank you that you fill our mouths with good things.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, I pray, Lord, that our mouths will be surrendered completely to you.
Yes,
so that you would fill them with good things, of praiseworthy things, of things that are of honour to you, that bring glory to your name, and Lord, that bring people to the kingdom. Father, I pray that you would clamp our mouths shut when we're not speaking anything that is good. Lord, I thank you that you use us, that you want to partner with us, that you want to show off your glory through us. Father, I thank you for an increase of glory, for us moving from glory to glory. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much that you take everything we have to offer, Lord, and you do so much more with it. Father, I thank you for my colleagues at work. I thank you for my workplace. Lord, I expect to see your glory being manifest there.
Yes, Father.
Lord, I expect to see you taking my demeanor and my words to bring your kingdom in that place. Father, I repent of the things that haven't been of glory to you. I repent that I haven't always come in with the best attitude, Father, and I declare that I will be as a daughter to you. I will be as a royal princess in your presence, because that is how you've made me. Father, I thank you that you beautify us for salvation.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Jesus.
Father, I pray also that this church would be known for its praiseworthy things, for the good things, Lord, for the things that we're declaring that are good, that people would know that this is a place that they can come to and experience all of your goodness. Father, I pray, Lord, for your church, that you'd waken them up to what is coming out of their mouths, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us more clearly, that, Lord, that we'd listen more clearly to what you have to say about what is coming out of our mouths. Lord, we've heard about strife, Lord, in your body, and Lord, we repent of that on behalf of your church as well.
Yes, Father.
Father, I pray that our words would be praiseworthy where it comes to our brothers and sisters.
Yes,
Lord. Those in other congregations, Lord, those who are in extended parts of our family, Lord, I pray that you put a guard on our lips over those things.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Father, I pray that you put a guard on our lips when we're speaking about even those our close brothers and sisters, even those in this congregation, Lord, that we would be pointing out those things that are praiseworthy, those things that are good, that those things that are glorious, that are bringing glory to your name. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would expect love to cover every single thing. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.